And okay, now we're going to get in our regular mode. It is our custom to prepare ourselves for the Word of God by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you, and we really don't know from day to day, even moment to moment, what's going to take place. But it's so heartening to know that you are our God, and you are with us, and you have a plan for our life, and we are just on board for whatever happens, because we know that you are in charge. So we thank you for the time we have together and pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've got one other thing. Is it Jacob?
Jarrett.
Jarrett is going to come up. Come on up, Jarrett. He is Lily's dad, and he wants to say a few words to us about the court case and how it went. You can come around this way. Oh, and let me get you this. Yeah, but they need to hear you online.
I'll talk about
it. There you go. Put it close to your mouth.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to come and personally tell everybody thank you. I wish I had time to kind of tell you how God worked throughout this entire case and just the testimony behind it all. But Catherine is officially safe. It cost our family, like, we're $100,000 in debt. It cost probably close to $200,000 to keep her safe. We were fighting a force of evil that was almost too much. It pushed me to my absolute limits and took my faith further than I ever knew it could go. But all the prayers, the money that you guys sent to help, everything, everybody, just it all mattered, and it all came together. God has kept my child safe, our family's whole, and we just found out, you know, last week, once and for all, the mother will always be supervised and Catherine will always be safe. God truly pulled through in ways you guys wouldn't believe. It was just beautiful. And I hope to actually be able to turn it into a book, because it was such an incredible story. And just to see God's work throughout everything and the people and the prayers. Like, when we were in court, we had something like 60 people watching on a stream. Even the judge was like, what's going on? Why are so many people here? And we're like, they're all praying for Catherine. So thank you guys, sincerely. Maybe another time I can actually share a little bit of how we could see God working just every step of the way. But it was truly, truly an incredible thing. And thank you so much for everything.
Thank you. Okay, I went back a little bit in our lesson because I wanted you to go over these names or these terms that are not familiar maybe to you or maybe other people, and when you hear it just one time, and that was a week ago, you can't even remember. I mean, a lot of people don't remember exactly what that means, so we're going to go through it one more time. I'm going to skip a few things, and then we'll be on target for this morning. So in this screen here, it says, in the following pages, there are a few terms that might not be familiar, so they will be explained now. And they are pivot, client nation, and non-client nation. We start with the pivot. The pivot is the accumulation of mature believers living in a client nation, while the pivot is composed of primarily of mature believers, it may also include positive believers who have reached spiritual adulthood. So we see the word client nation. If you say that to someone, a friend, or they probably won't know what you're talking about, and I'm going to explain it in just a moment again. But think of it this way. If you go to someone's going to build your house, you're his client. If you go to a lawyer, you're his client. And that's what it is with God. We are God's client. But all this has to do with a nation as well, a client nation to God. There's certain things that have to come to pass for that to happen, and I'll show you in a moment. But think of it like we are God's client, and we are his client because we do the things that those in a client nation do. A client nation always has a pivot that some call a remnant. A remnant is something that's left, which is a group of mature believers that God protects. So this is something we learn right away with a client nation. We haven't even gotten to the one that is going to describe that, but we know that this pivot is a group of mature believer that God protects. In other words, there's always going to be believers in God because he protects them, and they are part of the pivot or the remnant. When a nation has a large pivot, God blesses that nation. But when the nation's pivot is shrinking, God withdraws his blessings from that nation. And we all can make something of this that we can understand it, because we were going down, and we were going down hard for the last 4 years. And that means the pivot was shrinking. But now things have changed, and there's more of a chance for the pivot to be growing, which means that we're on the right side and God is going to give us his blessings. That's as a nation. Of course, the same thing goes along for a person, an individual as well. Now, this is the definition of a client nation. A client nation to God is a nation under divine protection because it has a pivot of mature believers, and it has a nation in which the civil government recognizes establishment principles of freedom, including privacy, and the sacredness of property and life. Now, there are few client nations at any given time, and one reason is because most of the nations don't recognize the establishment principles, and these are things that the government did not give us. This is what God gives us. God gives us the rights in the Bill of Rights as well. So if you're a client nation, you have to have these principles. Government recognizing establishment principles of freedom, that comes first. Then including privacy. You know, if you don't have privacy, you don't have freedom either. And the sacredness of property and life, that is what describes a client nation. And we are a client nation, but only God knows where we are, if we're shrinking or growing. God sees it all, and he knows what to do. And now, a client nation to God is a nation under divine protection because it has a large pivot of mature believers, and it has six things that distinguishes it. So we're seeing just not any nation can be a client nation. There are several things that have to be there before you can be a client of God, client nation of God. I'll go through these quickly because we went through them last time. It must evangelize its own people at home. These are the requirements. It must communicate Bible doctrine to the believers in that nation so they can evangelize in their nation, and also they communicate Bible doctrine to the people in the nation. Number three, it is responsible for the custodianship of Bible doctrine. That means consistently giving it out. Four, it provides a haven for the Jews. And that is really being tested today. And it's to my chagrin that there are so many people that are outwardly hate the Jews, and they defy the Jews. They are anti-Semitic to the core, and that's sad to see in our own country. Number five, it is responsible to send out missionaries to evangelize other nations. And of course, I think any church worth their salt does that. We certainly do it. And number six, it must have an establishment of local churches which are autonomous. That means that no one can tell them you can't do this or you can't do that, that we make our own decisions. If someone came in and told me, you can't teach that doctrine, I really don't know what I would do, but he would be in a bad place at that time. Number three, no nation ever learns from the mistakes of other nations when involved in the cosmic arrogance. Now, cosmic simply means worldly. And they don't learn the mistakes from other nations. And that for each nation, that is true for about nearly 100% that they don't learn from other nations. This refers to non-client nations where there is neither a pivot of mature believers nor freedom for the perception of truth and in evangelism and doctrine. All these, I think there's, 180, somewhere close to 200 nations. And I don't want to project how many of them are non-client nations, but the most of them, nearly all of them, are non-client nations, and because they don't have a pivot of mature believers, they don't have freedom, and they can't get the perception of truth and in evangelism and doctrine. Now, the non-client nation serves Satan as its own selfish motivations. Furthermore, the non-client nation is the product of its own maneuverings and its self-determination. You see, God is not there. They don't care about God, or they have a God that's a false God. And so they do whatever they think is right. Maneuvering here or there, a lot of this turns into violence and wars and so forth. And it's all in their self-determination. They're not relying on the plan of God. Number three, when a nation is involved in cosmic arrogance, its people are blind to the fact that they are making exactly the same mistakes that destroy other great nations before them. And our country is not exempt to that either, if you just take a look at it. Hegel stated this principle as follows: we learn from history that we learn nothing from history. And I think that goes along with individuals as well, not only nations. Now we start today's lesson. Point number five. This is another way of saying that arrogant individuals or arrogant nations are unteachable and become blind to their own failures, resulting in their own self-destruction long before they are invaded and overrun. Now, in every nation, indeed, can get to the point to where they're unteachable. That is so horrible for a nation, because they think that they are the great one, and they do whatever they want to do. They don't have any measure of understanding who and what God is, and so they become unteachable, blind of their own failures, and they self-destruct. And this is pretty telling when it says that, and they become blind to their own failures, resulting in their own self-destruction. For the last 4 years, that was what was happening to our country, wasn't it? We were being self-destruct, not us, just the lunatics that were in charge. And that happened before we were invaded or overrun. But that could have been on the table very easily as well, because if you, it's up to God, but when a nation goes that contrary to everything that is biblical, then you can start looking for someone to invade or overrun our country. That could have happened easily. Point number four. Three things that destroy a nation. The first one is economic depression. It can result from government destruction of industry through legislation or from building our factories in other countries. Now, both of these things happened to us in that same period, that same 4 years. And we are so thankful now that God, in His grace, was behind our president now. And now we at least have hope. There are still millions and millions of Americans that just don't get it. They are... in their own soul, they are a non-nation because, and it's still going on. I have to admit, I was kind of surprised. I thought when President Trump got in and he's got the wonderful cabinet, so much ways that we can change the mode that was there before, and yet you still have these people. And I've never seen, and I know when you talk about people who are in office that they can do crazy things, but I've never seen them get this crazy to where everything that's wrong and bad, they're behind it. And the people, they say that this 80%, I'll just take one like transgenders, they say that 80-something percent don't want transgenders. And yet, they back transgenders. That whole thing is crazy. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we are... another thing that's happened that never happened in my knowledge of our country, to where our president is changing the whole economics of the entire world with the tariffs, and he's trying to do something to change the status quo, which was horrible. No other president had the moxie to do that. They didn't have what it took. The second one is social degeneration, which is individual bad decisions. Now, this is social degeneration. We're talking about just people, folks. And it says, individual bad decisions destroy the structure of society. And there are a lot of bad decisions that have been going on for a long time. The sacredness of freedom, property, and life are ignored or rejected. Integrity disappears from society and is replaced by every form of crime or immorality. That, again, goes back to what? The last 4 years. And it's being turned around, but there are still forces that are working against us getting all our freedom and all these things back. And then military defeat. No nation can win a war when the manpower suffers from social degeneration. I'm going to stop there for a moment. It's so clear. In that last 4 years... they were teaching DEI, and they were pushing transgenderism and all the things. And this is in the military. And Pete Hegseth has changed that. He's became the head of the military. And they say that their recruiting has gone through the roof. And in the other 4 years, they were way behind. And so when they saw what President Trump is doing, they had honor and they had the will and the courage to go get in the military and help defend our country. So manpower suffers from social degeneration, and the industrial complex cannot provide logistical support. And that was the same way, because the last 4 years, no one thought anything about making our military the best in the world. In fact, they just ignored it. No nation can survive functioning on principle alone without a pivot of mature believers. This is, by the way, letter P there. Number one, survival takes evangelism, positive volition towards doctrine. Survival, you see. If you not just get, you can't even survive. Let me give that top one again. No nation can survive functioning on principle alone. Mankind comes up with principle without a pivot of mature believers, which will kind of guide them in the right way. So survival takes evangelism, giving the gospel to folks, positive volition towards doctrine. That is absolutely imperative. The function of the plan of God in one's life, and cognizance of the invisible assets provided for each believer. Now, that last one, I'm going to throw out the anchor for the rest of the time. Because most people wouldn't understand what it means, that most believers are not cognizant of the invisible assets provided for each believer. And if you haven't heard that before, you would be among many. I've taught this before, but I'm going to do a little bit of a deep dive now. Number two, the principle to function in a foreign or domestic policy, there must be a pivot of mature believers in a client nation. From that comes traditional Bible values and virtues for believers and unbelievers as well. So let me see something. I'm going to turn this off for a moment because the slide that's supposed to be there isn't there. It might be further down, so I'm going to check it out. Okay. We'll have to get this at another time. I spent a lot of time on going into what is called, on this one, I have it, the escrow blessings. That's what I was going to go over. I think I'll take a chance. I'm going to take a chance for a moment here. I'm just going to get rid of this because I want to teach this today. And it's not there. It's the wrong file has been brought up. And so I got to do this. Okay. Okay, I ended that. Let me make sure it's not on down the way. Okay, I've got the wrong, up to this point, I've had it the right one. But I changed that on this. Let's see what this is. And then I gotta find my glasses. In my hand. Okay, this can go. And Kim is teaching the children today, so I'm on my own. All y'all, I know, shivering about that. This is so important and so good that that's why I want to do it. Okay, it's not that one. Get that one out. Don't save. Oh, I know where I can go. Go here. Let's see if I have the pivot. Y'all can be praying for Zeta while I'm doing this. You probably already are. That's not it. I wonder if the if I can get it on the this is the desktop. You'll thank me if I can get this. We've got to have a, oh, here it is, okay. And I want to go to, this. And I'm going to go to PowerPoints. Okay, this is going to tell, hold your breath, if it's going to be here or not. I tell you, it's embarrassing to have something like this happen, but they do happen. So what I'm going to do is, because this is where I was before, let's see, am I in PowerPoints? You know what, Vidal?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm just going to have you come up and give your thing now because I'm all mixed up on these. It's not the right ones. So we'll just do that now, and then all of you will hear it. You don't have to worry about going long or anything. Can you hear me in there? There's, huh? No, we only have 10 minutes left anyway, but I had a oh, okay. All right. Well, will you come up and...
do you
want
to close so I can stop the streaming?
Oh, okay. I was going to close after that, but I can go ahead and... Yeah, I can go ahead and do it now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just creatures that do our best, and we fall so short of so many things that we have intended. However, you love us anyway, and we thank you for that. Again, we pray for Zeta, that they are doing a thorough job with her, and that they are doing the right thing, that they won't harm her, but they will help her. And we just thank you for the time we have here on earth, and we look forward to our Lord Jesus Christ coming back on the in the rapture for that as well. So, we thank you for these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.